Hello and welcome to Private Market Podcast Series of the Said Business School at the University of Oxford. I'm your host, Ludovic Falipou. I'm a professor of financial economics here. Today's podcast is Management Laid Bare.
I've invited one of the most famous chief executives in this country, who has run both publicly traded companies and privately held companies, especially sponsored by private equity firms, and to explain to me what the magic recipe is. So Chris Woodhouse, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
It's sometimes a bit surprising that when one needs to incentivize people for them to work hard, in a sense, like, you know, people, everybody's like working hard, right? Like, why would you need, you know, this extra and sizable kick for people to do the right thing?
Well, I think the difference fundamentally comes down to stewardship versus ownership. So senior management in private equity-backed businesses generally will hold shares in the company, and therefore they feel more as though they own the business and they're entrepreneurs. And a number of things come out of that. One is that they usually have a remuneration package that's highly geared to performance, and as a consequence of that, it tends to drive, I think, in terms of my experience, better results on revenue, on management of the cost base, on margins, and ultimately on profitability. I think it's about focus at the end of the day. So if people have a very clear goal in terms of value creation, and the whole of the management team shares that, and it's a common goal that the shareholder also has, then it tends to drive better results.
So what kind of initiatives do we see then as a result of this ownership, or this feeling of ownership?
Well, it varies by company, obviously depends on the background, but I think people are very, very focused on driving revenues, because ultimately, in order to create sustainable value that another shareholder will buy into, because the one thing that all private equity businesses have in common is that they eventually exit, you have to drive the revenue line. I think there's just a higher degree of focus on both driving revenue from the existing business, but also coming up with new creative ideas about ways that step changes in revenue can be achieved through, you know, maybe different products or attacking different geographies or different subsectors of the market.
And there are no classic, like, value creation channels that are specific to private equity? Maybe people talk about sometimes that buy and build is more used in private equity space, for example, as a way to grow businesses.
I think in the early days, post a buyout, there tends to be quite a lot of focus on driving performance in terms of making sure the business is run efficiently, because it's within the control of the management to do that. So they will obviously look at pricing, look at margins, look at cost base to make sure the existing business is run as effectively and efficiently as it can be before they move on to new initiatives. I think the only thing I would say is that often if you have to restructure a business or you need to do things that are better off done outside the public gaze, then it's easier to do that in a private equity environment.
What kind of example is that that would be outside of the public? Because the public seems to know more or less everything nowadays, yeah. Right? The press, the media is pretty quick.
When you have to restructure a business that may involve job losses, then it's, you know, that's evident to everybody. It's publicly public knowledge at that point. Possibly what's different in a private environment is that you don't have to foreshadow that in the way that you would need to on occasions within a public company. So it is easier to get stuff done without quite so much media interest.
So you mentioned that something also typical of private equity is this focus on exit. That is also a big difference with the public market or with other forms of ownership. You buy a company, dressing the bride as nicely as possible because 4 years down the line, somebody will need to be very interested in buying that company at a high price. So How does that change also the way people work?
Well, the first thing I'd say is I fundamentally disagree with this idea that you dress things up for sale. I think the difference that it does involve, though, is that there's a focal point in terms of an eventual exit, so a fixed time scale that both the shareholder and the management team are working to. And it comes back to what I said earlier on, it's all about commonality of goals at the end of the day. So everybody understands that one of the key objectives of the business is about value creation, but it's also within a fixed time scale. So that provides a level of focus in terms of driving initiatives rapidly in the business. But ultimately, you have to plan for the long term, because when you are looking to exit, the next buyer needs to understand what your plan is for the next 5 or 10 years. If there isn't a plan with some empirical data to support that it's deliverable, that takes the business over the next 3, 5, 10 years, the next investor is not going to pay you value for that. This idea that you can dress things up over a fixed time period and not worry about the future is fanciful.
Something in what you describe as well, something people often say, is that private equity then, because of this extra focus, etc., can professionalize businesses, make them run better, etc. Are there still businesses nowadays where one can go in an auction, buy a business, and still like add value to it? I mean, isn't things like fairly priced and with very little room for improvement? Or?
Well, I think when you buy a business, you have to have a different investment thesis. But fundamentally, I come back to what I said at the outset, which is you have to have a strategy to grow revenue ultimately. You can't command large values for businesses unless the revenue is growing in a positive manner. If you want to generate the best value for businesses, you need to grow the top line, you need to grow the revenue. And so it's looking for ways to do that in terms of new initiatives, new products, new geographies that you can enter, new subsectors of the market that you can drive into.
So you're not too worried about this trend of like more businesses being sold via auctions and things like that, that makes it a bit more difficult to, you know, it's very competitive.
I don't think auctions are something new. I mean, going back to some of the deals that I was involved with in the early 2000s, they were businesses that were put to auction. So it's not a new phenomena. It undoubtedly makes it more competitive, but you always need to go into these transactions with a different investment thesis. In terms of the way that you're going to drive value, just putting on paper the same as everybody else, well, ultimately means you'll pay the same as everybody else unless you've got a different view on risk-adjusted rates of return. So one of the things that you have to do when you first buy a business is make sure that all of the senior management understand what the private equity model is. It might sound surprising that one has to do that, but you have to do it and have to do it repeatedly, probably over a six-month period before people get it. And it really consists of going through a basic LBO model in terms of talking to them about how growth in revenue, how improvement in gross margins, how improving the efficiency of the business in terms of the cost base, and then also looking at the capital side of the balance sheet in terms of fixed asset turns and working capital efficiency can drive value. And it's all about, I mean, it is a basic LBO model where you're looking at the cost of financing in terms of fixed rate debt and equity within the business, and how if you grow the value of the business over that price of financing, then it generates value that goes back to the shareholders.
So it's really down to playing with Excel and like saying, if we sell this non-performing division, then earnings will grow by that or margins will grow by that. And then you can see the impact on equity given how much leverage we are and how much we pay for the cost of debt. And that's, there's this direct relationship then. And then because they're all owners, like you said earlier, then they can divide this equity and say, for me personally, that will mean X.
Absolutely.
And if this X is a big deal, then they will be less emotional about parting with it.
Absolutely.
Business.
And they get it. And therefore, you end up with goal congruence between the management team because everybody's working to the same objective around value creation. But also importantly, it's the same objective as the shareholders.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. I certainly learned a lot today about how private equity-owned businesses are run differently and how to better focus management on value creation. So thank you for taking the time to explain this to me and to us all today.
That's great. Thanks. I enjoyed talking to you.
I hope you enjoy and learn from listening to our podcast today. Thank you for listening to the Private Markets podcast series from the Said Business School at the University of Oxford. You can also send us your questions and feedback at sbspodcasts@sbs.ox.ac.uk. That's sbspodcasts with an S at sbs.ox.ac.uk.